Good afternoon, Wardville Community Church. It's Monday, September 12th, 2022. This is In the Know, episode 55. Hey, if you want to get a Wardville Community Church sticker, send me a text message today, Monday, September 12th, with our mission statement in it, and I will lay a sticker aside for you. If you're interested in signing up for Manor House distribution, if you want to be on the rotation, if you want to be part of the substitute list, you can reach out to me and I will write your name down for that list. We are in week two of that and it's going really well so far. We've had some hiccups along the way, but God has been gracious in giving us this opportunity and in providing from our people for the next like 6 months to be taken care of. So we are so grateful for that. Like I said, if you're interested, let me know. September the 16th, which is Friday night, this Friday, we are having Free Pizza Friday at 6 p.m. Free Pizza Friday, 6 p.m. If you are able to help with that, please let Ronnie Williams know ASAP as possible. September 11th through the 18th, which was yesterday, all the way through next Sunday, is the Georgia Barnett Week of Prayer. If you go in the into the newsletter, you can find a link there under the announcements, and you can see day by day what we're praying for. Today is actually kind of a meal distribution that is similar to what we do. I think it's more like a food bank, but yeah, I mean, it certainly dovetails with ministry that we're getting to do. And so you could be praying for that and then continue to be praying about what you'll give, because this Sunday we are going to have an offering, the Georgia Barnett offering we will collect. September 18th as well, next Sunday, the following Sunday for us, September 18th is going to be the first youth Sunday school class at 9:30 a.m. And that's going to be roughly grades 6 through 12 will be involved with that. I still have copies of Praying the Bible available. So if you have not received your copy of that book, please let me know. And eventually I'm going to open it up to people. If you want to give one away to someone else, you can also get one. So be listening for that. Next Sunday, the 18th, we're going to be doing 2 John verses 4 through 6. I'm just really enjoying, I don't know about anybody else, I have really enjoyed this foray into 2 John so far. Honestly, it's just been a nice break to slow down a little bit from long chapters of content. So I, again, shared my outline from yesterday. I hope that it makes sense. If it doesn't, as always, please reach out to me, and I would love to help explain to you. I would love to walk you through some things if I need to do that, because I want you to understand what we are doing, what we're talking about. What I've also done in the newsletter is I've linked a whole lot of verses from the New Testament. Yesterday, I ticked off a number of ways in which the New Testament speaks of grace. I wanted to share those with you so that you can see the actual verses from which I got these. Among many other things we can say about God's grace, one important thing is that God's grace is not just an idea in the numinous, ethereal, mystical realm. It's an authentic spiritual reality. It's a real thing, if we can say it that way. And as simple as those words seem, they're actually finding the limits of vocabulary to speak about it. So without further ado, here are the ways the New Testament describes God's grace. And honestly, this is probably only about half of what could be said if you just look like in a concordance at the uses of this word in context of these verses. There are many more things you could say. I think I trimmed the list about in half. So here it is. God's grace is given. Romans 12, 15, 1 Corinthians 3, 2 Corinthians 8. Again, if you want these specific verses, you can go see them there. and you can actually click on them and they'll pull them up in Bible Gateway for you so that you can read them in the ESV. God's grace is received, Romans 1, 5, and 2 Corinthians 6. God's grace can be multiplied, 2 Peter 1. God's grace abounds, Romans 5. God's grace strengthens, 2 Timothy 2 and Hebrews 13. God's grace appears, Titus 2. God's grace will be brought to his people, 1 Peter 1. God's grace is and can be with his people, Romans 16, 1 Corinthians 16, 2 Corinthians 13, Ephesians 6, and 2 John 3. God's grace fills people, John 1, Acts 6. God's grace is the means of salvation, Acts 15, Romans 3, Romans 11, Ephesians 2. God's grace can be understood, Colossians 1. God's grace is partaken of, Philippians 1. God's grace is praised, Ephesians 1. God's grace can be nullified, Galatians 2. God's grace is found sufficient, 2 Corinthians 12. God's grace is what his people exist under, Romans 6. God's grace is what people stand in, Romans 5. God's grace brings forth life and righteousness, also Romans 5. And I want to finish talking a little bit about faith and feelings. I mentioned yesterday how we can believe the promise that God's grace, mercy, and peace are with us, even when we don't see it or feel like it, or when we're not feeling it. This is the case because faith is not limited to our feelings. Our feelings aren't the measure of our faith. Now, don't get me wrong. Our emotions are gifts from God, and he intends for them to be engaged as we walk with him and his people in various ways, like rejoice, sing for joy, weep, wail, lament, be angry and do not sin, love one another with brotherly affection, and have a tender heart are all commands in the scriptures. Part of being made in God's image, I mean, part of the human experience means that we will have emotions and feelings. Feelings are not necessarily opposed to faith, but, and here's an important but, they must be informed by faith. Here's what I mean. Because of the fallenness of the world and the presence of remaining sin in our lives, our emotions can go too far in either direction. We can get lower than our circumstances should otherwise warrant, or we can go higher emotionally than should otherwise be true, that would be in accordance with truth. I think about, there was a book, a parenting book that Emily, my wife, read. And in it, she talks about, the author talks about your emotions, your feelings kind of as a horse. The way that they talk to their kids about it is like there's a horse and you're riding the horse and don't let the horse get away with you. You take the reins and seek to control your horse. So essentially, like, don't let your emotions run amok. Like, one of the fruit of the spirit is self-control. And so our feelings need to be informed by our faith. So in situations, for instance, where our weeping and our sadness like degenerates into despair, we've sunk too low and our emotions have then become opposed to faith. Our emotions that were not opposed to faith when we felt sadness, it's not unspiritual or wrong to feel sadness, to lament, to wail even, but when it gets to the point of despair where we would lose our hope, faith would actually call us not to lose heart nor lose hope because Christ is on the throne. He is ruling and reigning and he will return one day and he's going to fix the brokenness of this world and the brokenness that still in some ways remains within us. So we can't lose heart. We can't lose hope. We don't devolve into despair. If our rejoicing in some way leads us to seek exclusively happiness, to the detriment of sobriety about the world, the urgency of our task, and the need to weep with those who weep, faith would actually call us back down to earth. It would say that's an over-realized eschatology, because when we get too high in our emotions and we get too excited and too happy, it's almost as though we are we're forgetting the already and not yet. We're leaning too hard on the already and not enough on the not yet. The fact that we still inhabit a fallen world that is on its way to redemption, we could act as though redemption has already come. Over-realized eschatology. We have to, like, faith would call us to inhabit this already and this not yet. Our hope comes from the already of what Christ has done, and our weeping and our lows come from this not yet, the not yetness of this already not yet. And so faith would call us back down to earth when we get too high. So likewise, when your circumstances would cause you to feel that God's grace, mercy, and peace are not present with you, faith would actually call you toward belief that this promise is true in every circumstance from now through eternity. So even when you don't feel it, faith calls your feelings back and would say, I'm trusting what God's word says even more than what I feel, even more than what my eyes can see. That's one of those phrases from the Jesus Storybook Bible that I just love. It's said a number of times about what faith is. And so it's like Sarah trusted God more than what her eyes could see. Mary trusted God more than what her eyes could see. And so we're called to do the same thing. We're called to trust the Bible over our own experience, over our own thoughts, our own opinions, our own feelings, our own eyes, right? We believe God's word. That's what faith is. And so we must allow faith to inform our feelings and thus to temper them. So an accurate view and understanding of the gospel itself will keep us from getting too high or too low. This is yet another reason that truth is so vital. We need to tell ourselves the truth rather than simply listening to ourselves, right? We are listening to our feelings. We need to talk to ourselves more. And tell ourselves the truth. We need others to tell us the truth, remind us of the truth, and we need God's word to remind us of what's true. And then we need to ask God, who is Lord of our emotions, to help our feelings fall into line with the truth, with what's real, with what's accurate, so that we would feel in the way that He intends for us to feel, and that we would not feel things that would end up being opposed to faith, that would detract from our faith or distract us from the truth and from believing God. So go this week and let Christ be Lord over your emotions and let your faith inform that and continue to believe this wonderful, incredible, what feels like, again, you know, we don't let it feel that way for long because faith informs us differently, right? But it feels like it should be too good to be true that God's grace, mercy, and peace will be with us. These blessings, these gifts from Him. So believe that that is true in every circumstance, and then and go and rejoice and praise God from whom all blessings flow. Have a great week. I love you, people.